always thought I needed to gain status to find community. I spent all of my time trying to go for status in the hopes that it'll get me connection, love, friendship, and it works to a certain extent, but I don't think I actually went about my life the right way if connection was the goal. And so I've been researching this, I've been reading books about it. I hired a coach, of course I did, about how to build up my social circle. And in this video, I want to share what I've been learning. So these are four ideas on how you could become socially attractive AF. So the first principle is fashion and fitness, which seems like I'm completely undoing everything I've just said in the intro here, but I'm starting with one superficial point, and it's the only point of its kind. And the reason for this is because using the external to find your way into the internal is actually a very effective way of believing in yourself.
This is it, dude.
I learned this as an actor because in acting, there's two very big schools of thought. One that's very popular in the United States is where you act from the method. You focus on the internal character. So if I'm building a character, I think about what was his childhood like and what are his values. And I try to emotionally, like, imagine that I am this character. And in life, we translate to us being a certain way, us having certain neuroses and all that. And then we tell ourselves, okay, I want to be a different person. I want to be hardworking. I want to be social. So we try to internalize it first and then try to express it into the world. And I found this very hard in real life when I've been trying to change my identity, and definitely really hard as an actor. It's hard to not have anything externally to show what your character looks like and then do that kind of acting. And, you know, it is possible. It can be effective. You can, of course, think a certain way and find your way into an emotion. But it's a lot easier, I found, when I focus on the other school. The other way of acting is much more popular in the United Kingdom. And that's where they focus all of their attention on the external environment. They don't even think about what this character's personality is, what his values are, what he's trying to get out of the other person in the scene. It's all about presence, physicality first. So they focus on wardrobe, the way a person walks. And I've always found that when I put on a certain costume or gave my character a certain walk, one that comes to mind, of course, is Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders. Because those tweed jackets and the top coats that they wear seem so tight and, like, upright, I bet that it affects their walk. And when you start with a costume, you start from the external and move in, it's always been so much easier for me to find my way into a character. Like, if I was trying to be, like, a businessman and pretend I'm some character who's a businessman right now, it would be hard for me to get into it. But if I was wearing a great suit in a hallway or some corporate building, a great fitting suit can just immediately change your physicality and your mindset. And there's many actors who start with physicality to find their performance. One such actor is Tom Hardy and even Michael Fassbender. So I've always found it so much more effective to go outside in rather than inside out. And so I took this approach this last year where I wanted to be more social. So my initial focus was actually fitness and fashion, because I figured if I could present myself in a way that felt more naturally expressive, like socially expressive of me, it would make a big difference. And it has. In the last year of my life, I took a renewed interest in fitness and fashion, just my presentation overall, and it immediately made it more possible for me to be social. If you can express yourself well in your physicality, it serves as a great bedrock for making yourself feel more charismatic, more magnetic. Whereas if you feel sloppy, out of shape, unkempt, being the socially attractive person becomes much more difficult. And so that's why I actually think this is the first idea. Dress in a way that expresses you well, both in your physicality with your fitness and with your fashion. And I use this language very specifically. Dress in a way that expresses your personality well. Because there are, of course, trends and cliches and, like, something that you might see in The Art of Manliness about how a man should dress. I've seen a lot of videos from people like Alpha M, where he says, women love it when you dress like a bad boy or dress like a rock star. But you're not stylish if you're not dressing to your personality. And so I think a lot of us, we have inherent characters that feel correct to us inside our minds. And yet we don't really tap into that really well. Most of us, we don't put that much intention into our wardrobe comparatively. But there are various fashion-based stereotypes that are considered attractive that you could tap into. And it could be whatever feels most right to you. So if you feel like dressing like a hipster, you could dress like a hipster that dresses well, that looks good. Or if being an athlete or being in an athletic fit feels correct to you, you can dress in a very correct way of that. But whatever your trope is, whether you're the surfer guy or the businessman, it's good to dress in a stylish way. Like, present yourself in a good way for those lines. Even if you love hip hop and DJ, dress like a DJ artist, but do it well. And when it comes to fitness, I sort of have adopted this mindset as well. You should do the fitness that expresses you well. When I first started getting into training, I thought powerlifting and bodybuilding was really the only thing to do because those are the types of lifting that make you look the best with your shirt off, theoretically. Basically, training for aesthetics was the only way to train. And this is a common idea in the red pill community. I hear people like First Man talk about this all the time, where he says things like deadlifting and barbell curls are great. And by comparison, you shouldn't play soccer because soccer will just make you lose your gains. But what I'm most interested in now is just how, in my way of fashion, I want to present myself in a certain way. I also want to be true to myself in the form of fitness. So what I find most compelling is some degree of bodybuilding, but I also enjoy rock climbing, tennis, long distance running. It means that I'm doing more cardio and other types of movements. So I'm not going to be as big and juicy as Hamza or maybe Chris from First Man, but I still feel correct for myself. It feels right to me to be a little bit smaller, but to do the type of fitness that expresses me well. The same thing goes with fashion. I would label my personal fashion sense as like, if Bruce Wayne was like a slight hipster, I think that's me. I tend to dress a bit upscale, but there's often some sort of flourish in what I wear. Like this is a basic sweater. It's a nice sweater and you can't see it from here, but it's got a herringbone pattern on it. So I dress in staples in somber colors, navy, gray, black, but oftentimes there's just a little bit of flourish on there. You know, I'm an Indian hipster Bruce Wayne, and don't try to take that away from me. And what I've started to find is that when I took fitness and fashion seriously, even to the point now where I get a haircut every 2 weeks, at least every 2 weeks, it has made being socially attractive quite a bit easier. The second idea, which I think is so important, was a big learning lesson for me this year, is that you shouldn't try to flex or be cool. Instead, just spread good vibes. This one is embarrassing for me to admit, but I came to the realization these last 2 years that the sort of chip on my shoulder that I've grown up with, maybe because of all those Indian parties where I didn't feel like my parents could show me off well, it turned me into someone who always was trying to show off my accomplishments. And I often felt this when I would go on a first date, because I would go on the date and then I would have the best of intentions, but instead I would just end up talking about like, oh yeah, I deadlifted 4 plates today, and also I ran 15 miles because I like to run long distances. Yeah, I'm super fit. Also, I've got a business that's really successful, you know, just in case you're wondering. Like, I came to realize I've started becoming really annoying in the last 2 years because I'm always trying to show off. It's out of a state of neediness. Like, it's embarrassing. This isn't to say that people don't like success or won't be attracted to you for being successful or showing off your status. There is a certain amount of truth in having status and how it makes you more attractive to the world at large, but I don't think it's the cornerstone of social attractiveness. What has been far more powerful for me is if I go into the world with good intentions, just wanting to send out good vibes. It's crazy. This is such a simple idea, like send out good vibes, but most people don't do this. I really remember this back in my days living in Los Angeles, because the main reason to go out when I was 22 years old with all the guys, no one would say it, but the main reason we were going out was to try to get laid. And so we would go to these parties and maybe we'd be like just interacting with each other, but no one would be excited. And then when you see the girl you want to talk to, you're not even able to talk to her because you're just like grumpy, like hunting for this girl, and then it's all needy. And what I really should have done in those days was just enjoyed my friends. Like, if I'm with a friend or if I meet some random dude, just make him feel good. And it's what I've started doing now. And this is an idea that I learned because my business partner, sometimes he takes me to the mall now to like teach me cold approach pickup. And the first exercise that he started me off with is just complimenting people. So legit, I would just go up to like middle-aged moms and I would be like, hey, your boots are really cool. Those are awesome shoelaces. I wouldn't even know what to say because it would be so immediate. I would find myself just saying random stuff. And then I would think to myself like, is this compliment even good? Like, I'm just bothering these people. One time I went up to a girl who had really round glasses and I told her, my gosh, you look like you belong in the wizarding world. You look so cool. I like couldn't think of anything, so that's what I said. And what was surprising to me in all that was when I started giving out compliments, just not wanting anything out of people, but just trying to spread good vibes, people responded. Like, it didn't seem hokey to them. In fact, so many people would be like, wow, thank you. You're so sweet. Just this morning, I was at the gym, and as I was leaving, there was a dude there with a great black denim jacket. It looked great. It fit really well. And I just said to him, because I'm trying to practice this more, I just said to him, dude, you look so cool. You're just swagged out, my guy. Like, I just complimented him and he beamed. Like, he couldn't tell that I was forcing myself to spread good vibes because I'm trying to learn the skill. He just felt good. And it made me realize it made me feel good to spread good vibes. And it has been completely miscalibrated with how I have learned to make myself known in the world, where we go into the world and we make it all about ourselves. We're thinking about ourselves. We're very locked into ourselves and thinking like, frick, like, how do I get people to know that I'm somebody, or at the very least that I'm not like a dork? The most successful thing I've done in this last period of time is just to take the focus outside of myself and make the effort to spread good vibes. If you have a little bit of social anxiety like I do, then you can sort of massage your way into doing this. You sort of have to practice it in tiny spurts because it's almost like a tax to the CNS to try to meet people or introduce yourself to people or be social if you struggle with that. And this is where the fashion and fitness advice was a good bedrock for me to start from, because it did give me a little bit of confidence to start out with so that I could act a little bit more courageous. Because in a world with so many people who are just obsessed with themselves, essentially, everyone's just like trying to make themselves look cool, you really stand out in a very beautiful way when you don't make it about yourself. You just try to make it like, hey, I'm just trying to like spread good in the world. The third idea that's very similar to this is that you should be a high vibration person. So in recent months, I have read through this book, The Expectation Effect. I heard it on an episode of Chris Williamson's podcast. I think he was actually talking to Andrew Huberman about this. And the thesis of that book is that your mind is a powerful tool. By visualizing positive outcomes for yourself, you make it all the more likely that those outcomes will become your reality. And a big way that they sort of explain this in the book is with aging. So if you tell yourself, oh, I'm getting older, like, oh, you sort of fear aging, those people tend to age far faster. Whereas people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s and 70s, if they internalize themselves as that age being young, and there's still a lot of time left on the clock, like you're gonna make it a great time, those people stay young and vibrant for a long time. This goes outside of diet or sleep habits, like any sort of hygiene, just your expectation around what aging is gonna be like has a huge effect on how fast you age.
You can't deny the fact that the positive thinking has a real physiological impact on what you do.
And so basically this book is a very scientific take that validates a lot of the law of attraction. And in the last year, this is very bizarre for me to admit, but I have 100% come back on board with the law of attraction. For a while there, I think I was very heartbroken by the idea of using visualization to achieve my goals, because a lot of my life wasn't working and I was trying to visualize. I realized having faith and wanting good for yourself in the world and having this belief that good things can come. Really, it's the essence of all I believe in, you know, greatness is coming. Having that hope in your life and goodwill and positive mindset, being a high vibration person, it makes you very attractive to people. Now, what's tough about this is that having a positive mindset all the time, it's not feasible, because we do get irked, we get irritated, you get frustrated by something and all that. So I try instead to sort of systematize myself being high vibration. And there's a few things above all else that make all the difference with this. The first is semen retention, NOFAP. I really believe this more than ever, where I think there's some sort of creative goodwill, some God force that is inside me, which reveals itself to me when I have practiced some amount of sexual discipline. For me in 2022, my average NOFAP streak was like 3 weeks, which, by the way, I tracked on my habit tracker here, Transmuted, the best habit tracker on the internet. You can check it out, link in the description box. And whenever I've worked up to a long streak, I feel so like positive, energetic, high vibration, pure in mind. The second thing is meditation. And I've done a really amazing job this last month. I've come back up to 50 minutes of meditation every day, like very consistent now. And nothing will make you feel more pure, give you more clarity, more energy than meditation. It makes you feel like you're living life correctly. And then the last is things like affirmations, visualization, all that stuff, even good music. Like if I will listen to a song and just will in this kind of good vibe, happy feeling, that makes me a high vibration person. And having these disciplines consistently in my life, and above all else, just keeping it as a priority to have faith, to have belief that good things can come. It's like I make eye contact with people and they can sense it off me. What they sense off me is just like, hey, I want it to be good for both of us. Like the smile naturally emerges because you want to share positivity with people. It sounds like the most like corny, cheesy script I've ever written. But it is true. I think this is what has helped me become more socially competent. It makes a huge difference. The final principle I want to share with you is a little bit out of the left field. The final principle always is, but it's tongue twisters. Tongue twisters. This is very, very practical, but I promise you it'll make a huge difference in how socially competent you feel. When you go periods of time without talking to someone, it's almost as if you forget to use your voice. I say this to every one of my YouTube coaching clients, which, by the way, if you want to get YouTube coaching from me, that is also in the freaking description box. But if we don't use our voice enough, we forget how to talk. It's funny, but like, if I don't talk all day or like forget to use my voice, then I happen to go somewhere and someone will say hi to me. And then when I say hi back, it'll be I forgot how to produce the sound. The sound doesn't come out. So things like tongue twisters just help you have good diction, enunciate, speak well. And you'd be surprised when you actually pay attention to this, 90% of people slur their speech in some capacity. Like they have some sort of speaking tic. Maybe they drop their R's or something. People don't speak with complete clarity and it affects how they come across. So I do tongue twisters all the time now. I'll say things like six thick thistle sticks, aluminum linoleum, linoleum aluminum. She sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. You can start simple. So those were probably, you know, a little out there for you. But like the easiest one to do is toy boat, toy boat, toy boat. You have to say the T really well. That's a simple one, but people don't finish sentences. They don't get the T out at the end. The other thing, they sound very funny, but vocal warm-up exercises will make your voice sound much more attractive. It'll just make you sound almost like deep and melodious and lovely. So, I mean, these, I don't know if I should do this one. Vocal warm-ups sound really funny, but they're like, whoop-a-hoo. There's funny stuff that people do. Even sing, you know, you can sing a little bit. I'm gonna have Thomas cut a lot of this out. Maybe just give him one tiny one. But if you use your voice and consistently get yourself to use your voice, you don't get those funny moments where you get caught off guard and someone's like, hey man, how's it going? And you're like, yeah, nothing comes out. You want to put yourself in a position where if you see a cute girl at the gym, your voice is ready and you can say hi to her. Like you're ready for that. Or if you need to shake someone's hand and say something funny to close a $1 million deal, you can do it. Like you're freaking ready because your voice has been primed up and it just sounds lovely. It sounds velvety and delicious. But so far, these are the four big ideas that have been helping me be more social and be more socially attractive. Anyway, that's the hope. I hope I came across a little bit socially attractive in this video. One wonders. I was telling Manoj this, but this is a very strange script for me to be writing because I've never been interested in building my social skills. I just never cared. I just cared about my career more than anything. But what one comes to realize at some point in their life is that a good portion, maybe the majority of your happiness in life will come from your relationships. And having strong connection to other people, having the capacity to make people feel good, to be socially attractive to them. If you want to attract a partner, you know, you want to go pick up hot chicks at the mall, like being socially confident and being high vibration and having good intentions and spreading goodwill, it's going to make so much of a difference in your life. Dare I say, it's going to make you way more productive than using the latest productivity app, a calendar blocking app or whatnot. I love productivity as much as anyone, but life comes down to our ability to connect with people. It comes down to our relationships. If you're new to this channel, my name is Nikhil. This channel is a combination of lifestyle challenges, comedy sketches, and video essays, personal development videos for creatives who want to make it with their own artistry. If that's something that appeals to you, then consider subscribing. If you enjoy my content and you want to connect with me further, I've got a newsletter that you can subscribe to. I'm on Instagram where I share stories, carousels, reels, all about cinematography and how to be more productive and how to make the most of your online business. And lastly, with the end card of this video, you can check out my video on how I lived like Jocko Willink for 7 days. I learned gun training. It was like an amazing experience, that lifestyle challenge. And it's a video I'm very proud of. So that'll be linked at the end. But with that being said, for those of us who spread good cheer, stay high vibration, have good intentions, to us I say, greatness is coming. See you soon.